Welcome to The Southern Bruja, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to reviewing horror novels new and old, Latinx folklore, and a dash of all things Southern and weird. I'm your host, Melanie. Thank you for listening to episode 4. Now it's August, and this means summer break is nearly over. The kiddos are getting ready to go back to school, and everyone is trying to squeeze out just the last little bits of summer fun. Now, as much as I love hearing about people's awesome summer vacations, I know it's been a really hard past 2 years for us with the COVID pandemic, and many of us have had to cancel our trips. There's not a whole lot that we've been able to look forward to when it comes to exploring new places or visiting a lot of our loved ones or friends. So it's been really hard. And I know I've been using horror novels as an escape mechanism personally. It's been giving me an outlet as something that I can look forward to and kind of escape into. And know that things can always be worse. There could be a monster waiting for me behind my bathroom curtain, for all I know. So I thought it would be kind of fun to do kind of a bonus episode where we don't really talk about our fun summer breaks, but we talk about horror novels that maybe include vacations that went terribly wrong. And I know as I was looking for summer reads, I thought, you know, I've had a few vacations that maybe didn't work out that well. And sometimes, you know, it helps to kind of make those situations a little bit funnier, a little bit less stressful. And I know with everybody kind of having to cancel their breaks and cancel their trips, it's very disappointing. And so I thought, what could be worse than having to cancel all of this and kind of going through this scary time? And you know what? There could be worse things. So I promise you, no matter how bad a trip you've ever taken, or how sad you are that you've missed some of your summer vacation, or you're sad that summer is ending, I promise that the characters in these books have had a much worse summer than you have. So here are my top picks for, yeah, you win, your vacation sucked way worse than mine. First book up is Fantastic Land by Mike Bovigan. The Goodreads description reads, when online personas take the place of private identities, what happens when these societal constructs disappear? The employees of Fantastic Land find out after a hurricane hits the Florida coast. Fantastic Land has been the theme park where fun is guaranteed for nearly 40 years. After the hurricane, detectives and others who make it to the survivors more than a month later discover a scene out of a nightmare. Evidence of grisly murders are all over the park. Yet the only ones who could have committed these savage and horrible acts were the college-aged employees. What drove them to such violence? According to park policy, employees gave up their electronic devices to make Fantastic Land more authentic. When the hurricane hit and they were left to their own devices, the teens split into rival tribes. To survive, they compete for social dominance, medicine, human flesh, and food. So Fantastic Land is really kind of the ideal book if you are a fan of Lord of the Flies or have ever worked at a theme park. I actually am a former Disney cast member, and so I got a real kick out of reading this book and their descriptions of kind of the underworld of working at a theme park where you've got these kind of sticky polyester uniforms that you're having to wear every day. And there's usually like at least at Disney, there is kind of an underground tunnel system where all of the cast members go and you have your breaks there and there's a cafeteria and you kind of have this area that is just employee only and it's hidden from all of the attendees at the park. And a little bit of the magic gets lost when you're kind of in this underground world of theme park work. But this book was really fun having that kind of experience. And it's also very dark and you kind of wonder about what pushes people to act the way that they do. And if you live in an area that has a lot of natural disasters or storms, you can kind of relate to the panic and kind of isolation that these people are feeling when the hurricane hits. And I thought that what was really interesting about this book is that it is highlighted that they have all of the supplies they could ever need. There is no real danger other than the storm itself. And once that passes, these people just kind of turn all onto each other in these different factions. So you've got kind of all these different worlds that kind of work against each other. And it's really interesting. There's a group that are kind of like the pirates and they are the kind of the badasses of this group. And they really go for kind of that kill or be killed attitude. So Fantastic Land, again, by Mike Bovigan, is just really a great read. It is ideal for fans of Lord of the Flies or Battle Royale. It is about an amusement park that becomes the scene of a real life murder. And it's written in first person interviews based on the investigation of what happened after the survivors of Fantasticland are brought back. Again, really exciting, really tense, very bloody, but a really good time, and really does actually give you an insight into working in a theme park and kind of the darker side of that world. So another book I would love to talk about is Camp Slaughter by Sergio Gomez. The Goodreads description says, "It's a local legend. No one is sure if this Camp Slaughter place is real or not, but a group of college kids renting out a cabin deep in the woods of Pennsylvania will soon realize the truth. They'll realize the danger too, or rather, the cannibal out in the woods who brings the danger to them." So Camp Slaughter by Sergio Gomez is a slasher, kind of Friday the 13th meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre story. And it is a wild ride. The kills in this book are intense and violent. And I think what really sets it apart from your typical slasher book or film is that Sergio really goes into this making these characters real. He gives them all clear backstories. And while they do fit into the tropes of the jock or the nerd or the villain, they all are very interesting and have very individualized voices. So you're really invested in the fates of all of these people, including the villain, which is something that I don't find you typically get in your typical slasher film. It's usually just their machete fodder victims. You don't really feel an attachment to anyone. And this just kind of turns that on its head. I really genuinely cared about the characters. I wanted to know what was happening. There's a few scenes that are really funny, and there are a few scenes that will really make you gag, which it covers all of the bases of what we all love in the slasher genre. We all want to be horrified or shocked and kind of root for the survival of our heroine or our final girl, so to say. But this is really interesting too, in that the main villain has this intense backstory, and there's a lot of Latinx culture that is blended into the story, which for me is just mind-blowing. I know, as someone of a Latinx culture, there is so much of the supernatural and ghost stories and kind of this spooky world that it's part of the culture, and I feel like a lot of Latinx people are drawn to the horror genre because it's just part of our culture. It's part of what we knew growing up, and it didn't seem all that strange. And Camp Slaughter really leans into that. It leans into having a character that has a supernatural element to them, has this connection to the spiritual world. And there's one character that uses that as kind of a way to live and deal with trauma. And another character who is kind of using that spiritual link in a not so great way. But it's all very, very well done. It's very well written. It's a lot of fun. And there's actually going to be a follow-up to this very soon. So I definitely would suggest Camp Slaughter, especially if you're somebody who likes to spend time outside in the woods and you're feeling down about maybe missing your camping trip or not getting to go on your hiking trip. This will make you feel so much better that you did not go, I promise you. So the next novella that I wanted to talk to you all about is called Hope Wharf by Mark Towse. The Goodreads description says, "Hope Wharf is an idyllic town surrounded by crystal blue waters and home to approximately 200 residents, including best friends Ryan and Zach. There's only one road in and one road out, and the locals like it that way. Happy to cater to the tourists during the holiday season and keen to get their idyllic town back in the off-season. It sounds perfect, but there's a catch. The last time a local allegedly tried to leave town, they were found on the side of the road with mist coming out of every orifice. Tourists can come and go as they please, but it's forbidden for locals to leave. And from an early age, children are told about what happens if they try. Poor old Tommy Nichols used as an example. Ryan and Zach are keen to uncover the town's secrets and arrange a midnight stroll down Mulville Road to test the rumors out for themselves." So this is a novella. It is only about 100 pages, give or take. It's a short read, but this packs a punch. When I tell you that I was wholly invested in the characters in this story, Ryan and Zach are these adorable preteen children that are really trying to figure out why they're stuck in this town and what the history is of the town and why they can't leave. and are kind of yearning for something outside of their little world. And the way this story ends blew my mind. I mean, this story from beginning to end is just a page turner. Like I said, it's very short, but there's so much included in here, and it's very hard to talk about it without giving spoilers. This story really made me care about Ryan and Zach. They're two preteen boys, and they seem very real, which I think is a big draw from this story. Mark Towes has really created these characters that you can, their dialogue seems real. You could see these two young boys actually existing in a small town and trying to figure out their world and what, you know, what their fate means to them. Again, this town is idyllic. It is by the water. It just sounds like this beautiful little place. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Coney Island in New York. The descriptions has a little fair that brings tourists there. And there's a candy shop that has these amazing candies and is attracting locals. And I just can't say enough about this story. It is scary. It is emotionally impactful. It is fun. It is everything you could want in a summer horror story. Again, it's very short. Mark Towes did an amazing job of taking a story and really using every single word on that page. There's not a word that doesn't have an impact on the story. It is just so good. So, so good. Again, that's Hope Wharf. Can't say enough about it, but I can't tell you too much because that will lead to spoiler territory and nobody likes that. Please just go read it. So the next story I want to talk about is a story that will definitely make you feel better about canceling all of your summer plans and staying inside in the AC. It's called The Troop by Nick Cutter. The Goodreads description reads, "Once every year, Scoutmaster Tim Riggs leads a troop of boys into the Canadian wilderness for a weekend camping trip. A tradition as comforting and reliable as a good ghost story around a roaring bonfire. But when an unexpected intruder stumbles upon their campsite, shockingly thin, disturbingly pale, and voraciously hungry, Tim and the boys are exposed to something far more frightening than any tale of terror. The human carrier of a bioengineered nightmare. A horror that spreads faster than fear. A harrowing struggle for survival with no escape from the elements, the infected, or one another." So, The Troop. This book took me a really long time to pick up and read. I had so many friends tell me that I needed to read this Nick Cutter story, but they did warn me, and I will say that this is a massive, massive trigger warning. There is a lot of animal cruelty and violence in this story. And for me, that tends to be something that I can't stomach. And I tend to not read books that have that in the story. But it was recommended by so many people that I decided to go ahead and pick it up and take a chance and see if I could get over that kind of sensitivity and see if I could read the story and see what everybody was talking about. So The Troop is definitely what I would categorize as more gross out body horror. There are some horrifying elements to the story. Psychologically, the boys that are members of this troop, there are a few that you really truly root for, and there are some that you really cannot wait until they are gone from the story. Nick Cutter did such an amazing job of building tension, and it's really, really a disturbing story. And while there's this biochemical weapon that's being unleashed on this island, unbeknownst to these young children, it's really the way that these children turn on each other or lean on each other that is really the heart of the story. This also kind of has a Lord of the Flies feel to it, which is interesting. A lot of these stories are kind of kill or be killed, young children kind of figuring out who they are during these traumatizing situations. The Troop is something else. It is bloody. It is gross. It is sad. It is funny. But again, there is quite a bit of animal cruelty. There is lots of body horror. So this is not for the faint of heart. But Nick Cutter is such a good writer. And honestly, I was very invested in the outcome of this troop of children and their camp leader. And I wanted to know, I was really hoping that those children that I was rooting for would make it out, not only alive, but to be happy. And having characters to root for and really get engrossed in their fate is something that, when horror is done right, is just so perfect. And Nick Cutter gets it right. This is probably one of the gorier stories that will be on this summer list, but I think if you are willing to take a chance, this is creepy. It's got elements of Lord of the Flies. It's very much, there's some biochemical creatures. So this is a bit of a creature horror nightmare fuel is really what The Troop is. So again, that was The Troop by Nick Cutter, which is just gross and wonderful. And I do recommend it if you can stomach or get over some of the more violent aspects. There is a character who is psychopathic and he does enjoy the torture of other people and of animals. And that is definitely something that's not shied away from in this book. There's also some scenes where the children are kind of doing whatever they can to survive. And it is very heartbreaking and very sad. And it's just a character study, really, in what people become when they're faced with a difficult situation. So again, The Troop by Nick Cutter. Not for the faint of heart, but an excellent, excellent story. And you will definitely not feel bad about staying home, drinking some tea, and reading the story instead of going out camping or sitting by a bonfire. Trust me, you will be very happy that you did not do that this summer. The last book I wanted to talk about is The Saturday Night Ghost Club by Craig Davidson. The Goodreads description reads, growing up in 1980s Niagara Falls, a seedy but magical, slightly haunted place, Jake Baker spends most of his time with his uncle Calvin, a kind but eccentric enthusiast of occult artifacts and conspiracy theories. The summer Jake turns 12, he befriends a pair of siblings new to town, and so Calvin decides to initiate them all into the Saturday Night Ghost Club. But as the summer goes on, what begins as a seemingly lighthearted project may ultimately uncover more than any of its members had imagined. With the alternating warmth and sadness of the best coming-of-age stories, The Saturday Night Ghost Club is a note-perfect novel that poignantly examines the haunting mutability of memory and storytelling, as well as the experiences that form the people we become, and establishes Craig Davidson as a remarkable literary talent. So I had to include The Saturday Night Ghost Club because something I found out, and I may be the last person on earth to realize this, but Mr. Nick Cutter, the gory camp-killing author of The Troop, is actually Craig Davidson. And The Saturday Night Ghost Club is just such a departure from The Troop. I can't believe they're the same author, but they are. Just written under a different pen name. And this is really a coming-of-age story that's very much in the vein of It and Stand By Me and Stranger Things. It is, I wouldn't say gentle horror, but it's very much more of a character study in these children and this uncle and what happens over one summer and the tragedy that is kind of discovered during the summer. There's so much about the story that is just beautiful and well done and horrifying. And it really talks mostly about the magic of growing up, covering this one summer and how you don't really know the secrets of the people that you love, and maybe you think you know their backgrounds or you think you understand where they're coming from when they do certain things or act a certain way, and you really don't. And like, this story is really just something that it tore my heart out. This is just a beautiful, beautiful story with all of the elements that I just love in a book. It has scares, it has drama, it has characters that you can believe in. There is definitely just so many things in the story that are really endearing. It's really just a gem of a story. It is a rich book filled with nostalgia. I don't want to say too much about this again, but it's definitely one of those books where you won't be, there's no way that you can read this and not be affected in some way. This is definitely a book that I could recommend to somebody that would say, I don't read horror or I don't like horror novels. I would actually recommend this as kind of a starter book to kind of bridge that gap into what horror is really about and horror at its best. And again, I really couldn't believe that Craig Davidson and Nick Cutter were the same person. But now that I'm talking this with all of you, I can see where his ability to bring these characters to life and make us invest in these children, both in Saturday Night Ghost Club and in books like The Troop, is just, again, it's amazing how well written these characters are. And this is much more of a creepy mystery tale around the campfire kind of story, but it's heartbreaking. It's beautiful. It is well done. I absolutely recommend this book if you want something that's horrifying but not gory and kind of, I guess you would call this horror adjacent. There's definitely a creepy ghost story that is part of this book, but it's so much more than that. It is a quintessential coming of age novel. Ghosts are really kind of a metaphor for memory in this book. And again, it's wonderful. I highly suggest reading this one. Or you could do it the way I did, is start with The Troop and really just get in there and then read Nick Cutter again as Craig Davidson and see the emotional depth that this author is really able to conjure up in both these horrifying scenarios. It's just an excellent book. So again, this is The Saturday Night Ghost Club. This has also been compared by many to The Boy's Life or A Boy's Life by Robert McGammon. So if that's a book that you were interested in, this would definitely be something that's more up your alley. I really hope that this episode kind of brought to your attention a few books that are great to read as summer comes to an end and gives you a couple of looks into the genre that maybe you weren't thinking of. If you're looking into body horror, I tried to cover a little bit of a book that would fit that situation. If you were looking for something a little bit more soft on the horror but heavy on the character-driven story, I tried to include a story for that as well. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram @_southern_bruja and on Twitter @southern_bruja. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.